Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. WBQC LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WBQC LP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WBQC LP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WBQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
I got a hand full of wonder seed. I'm gonna cultivate this mystery. Ain't gonna be green beans tree. Do you want me or want me?
is online at WBQC.org. Hemp Rock is online at HempRock.com. The Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people.
We were watching TV, watching TV. We were watching TV, watching TV. Tiananmen Square, lost my baby there. My yellow rose and her bloodstained clothes. She was a short order pastry chef in a dim sun dive on the Yangtze Tideway. She had shiny hair, she was the daughter of an engineer. Won't you shed a tear for my yellow rose, my yellow rose, and her bloodstained clothes. She had perfect breasts, she had high hopes, she had almond eyes, she had yellow thighs. She was a student of philosophy. Won't you grieve with me for my yellow rose? Shed a tear for her bloodstained clothes. She had shiny hair, she had perfect breasts,
She had high hopes. She had armor knights. She had yellow flags. She was the daughter of an engineer. So get out your pistols, get out your stones, get out your knives, cut them to the bone. They are the lackeys of the grocer's machine. They built the dark satanic mills that Banyard Fetcher hell on earth. They bought the front row seats on Calvary. They are irrelevant to me.
We were watching TV.
Watching TV. We were watching TV. Watching TV.
She wore a white bandana that said freedom now. She thought the Great Wall of China would come tumbling down. She was a student. Her father was an engineer. Won't you shed a tear for my yellow rose, my yellow rose, and her blood-stained clothes? Her grandpa fought old Chiang Kai-shek, that no-good, low-down, dirty rat who used to order his troops to fire on the women and children. Imagine that. Imagine that. And in the spring of 48, Mao Zedong got quite irate. And he kicked that old dictator Chiang out of the state of China. Chiang Kai-shek came down in Formosa. And they owned the island of Quemoy. Shells ran across the China Sea and they turned Formosa into a shoe factory called Taiwan. And she is different from Cro-Magnon Man. She's different from Anne Boleyn. She's different from the Rosenbergs and from the unknown Jew. She's different from the unknown Nicaraguan. Half superstar, half victim. She's a victor star, conceptually known. She is different from the dodo and from the cancabono. She's different from the Aztec and from the Cherokee. She's everybody's sister. She's symbolic of a failure. She's the one in 15 million who can help us to be free. Because she died on TV.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers this simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson. and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC-LP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM, and WVQC.org, low power to the people. Also on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
All right, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress, and across the table from me that I'm going to pass the joint to because I'm rolling up the pot today is Susan Mima Gop. How you doing today?
Absolutely wonderful.
Well, before we go into your first ever virgin experience of Hash Bash, I, of course, do want to tell you a couple of things real quick right at the top of the show. Of course, the song you just heard, if you didn't know, some of you may have, some of you may not. And it's just one of those songs that I like to play for a reason. And it is in honor of course, a, I'm going to try to say the man's name. Goodness. Fang Litsi. Or Litsai. I'm not really sure. Of course, he is one of China's most famous dissidents from the 1989 crackdown on pro-democracy activists. Who died this past week here in the U.S. He is one of the exiled descendants. This was this past Saturday. Fang Litsi, or Litsai, 76, whom China had accused of counter-revolutionary crimes, you know, terrorist activists, of counter-revolutionary crimes, lived in Tucson, where he was a physics professor at the University of Arizona. He died of natural causes, according to the Twitter feed of Wu Renhao. I'm not Chinese, folks, so I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing these words correctly. I do apologize if I'm not. He was a dissident living in exile, as he said. Exiled dissident Wang Dan, who topped the list of the 21 most wanted student leaders from the time when the Chinese army crushed pro-democracy demonstrations centered on Beijing's Tiananmen Square. Of course, this was June 4th, 1989, confirmed the news on his Twitter feed. And, you know, I wanted to lead this off because with this story, first of all, it means a lot to me. I have two Chinese great-grandchildren. They're my mother's great-grandchildren. They are my great-niece and great-nephew, wonderful children, my nephew's kids. And besides having that family connection, this is just one of those events that pisses me off and makes me the pissed-off Hemptress. Even today, all these years later, finding out that this gentleman has passed, it still disturbs me. Now, you can go to my website to hear that song on a video from YouTube, and somebody did a great video collage of all of the things that happened during that siege in China. And so if you want to watch that, you know, it's not a good thing to watch, but I think everybody should watch it, because if we're not careful, folks, after what happened last week at our own Oaksterdam University, with death down the street, things like this could happen. And you think it can't happen here, but it can. It happened there. It happened on our own campus here in Ohio. Kent State, also May 4th, coming up that anniversary. And so, you know, this is just a rude awakening, folks, because these things are going to happen if we do not stand up right now and fight this crap coming out of the feds. If, you know, let's just say, you all might not realize this, but meanwhile, on Monday morning, while the feds, which includes the DEA, the IRS, the U.S. Marshals, and backed up by the Oakland Police Department, are raiding the pot growers, the teachers that teach about pot industry, things like that, at the Oaksterdam U. And meanwhile, you know, first of all, last week, Susan, I read something where it said 5 miles down the street, misprint, 0.3 miles.
0.3 miles.
0.3 miles away from Oaksterdam U was the Christian Nursing College, where 7 people dead, 3 wounded. 0.3 miles away. Now, unless Neil Franklin from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition is incorrect, or Huffington Post, when they carried his posting about it, was incorrect, 0.3 miles away, folks. That's like 3 blocks, 4 blocks away. How could these cops not hear this gunfire? And I say, if one of those Oakland Police Department cops were cruising by in the cruiser, doing rounds like they would normally do, and happened to go past the Christian College Nursing School, and heard that gunfire, maybe they could have saved somebody. Even if one. Maybe five.
If it was only 0.3 miles,
yeah,
they're lucky they didn't hear it, because they could have started shooting into the crowd that had gathered around Oaksterdam.
True. Could have been a damage that we couldn't have even seen coming. They could have thought it was the pot smokers with guns. Yeah, these stupid cops could have thought that. And then it wouldn't have found any guns, and they would have said, oh, well, oops, sorry.
It was a mistake.
You know, that's even if they do that. But, so, the song that I played in honor of the gentleman that died, who was one of the leading counter-revolutionaries of China, was, of course, Roger Waters, off of his Amused to Death CD from 1992. The song is Watching TV, because, of course, she died on TV like the rest of them. And we all sat back and watched like fools and did nothing. Now, I just want to tell you real quick, our very, very, very special guest at the bottom of the hour will be Chris Conrad and Mickey Norris. I should say the woman first, Mickey Norris and Chris Conrad. Very good friends of mine for many, many years, authors, leaders in our movement, and publishers of the West Coast Leaf, a newspaper out on the West Coast. They were also on the ground at Ground Zero at Oaksterdam U as soon as the word was out, within a half hour of the raid. Them and a whole bunch of other folks, including some, or one at least, that got arrested for protesting. Imagine that, you know, arrested for protesting. I guess that's better than dying for a protest,
yes,
like the Chinese did. But, you know, again, it's all about colleges. Get the theme, college campuses, college students, things like that. But, so they were at Ground Zero protesting and speaking their mind for us that couldn't be there, and they will be on the show to discuss that, their feelings and what they think will happen next. And of course, just before we go any further, I do want to tell you, I have not had a chance to talk to Richard Lee, but there's a lot of different stories out there from him. He's been on numerous shows, including Drug Truth's Cultural Baggage this yesterday, and I was on right after that on Dean Becker's Century of Lies. There's too many titles to remember. Century of Lies segment. And he is stepping down as the director of Oaksterdam U and handing it over to other people. He is now broke, broken, and disgusted. And, you know, the IRS was there to seize the money. So thieves, 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 legal thieves with big guns bigger than ours.
You know,
thieves, thieves.
The IRS coming in and securing all the funds is one of the ways they tried to do the alcohol prohibition.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, jury nullification is the way to go, and I think that's where it's going to go. Now, you got 2 minutes to tell us about your Hash Bash experience this weekend, and then we'll talk to you at the top of the show right before we end today's show.
Oh, I had a great time. Our neighbor set off the smoke alarm in the hotel.
I've done that.
Had a wonderful
Not
time.
At a hotel, though.
And it will go down in Cannabis Village history as the weekend that Susan passed out in the hotel room floor.
Now, of course, coming into the show, you did mention that you got sick, and it's being blamed on all that really good pot, but it was really food poisoning. That's really
but
bad.
I'll let them tease me for the rest of my life about it being too much pot.
Well, now, of course, we'll have a lot more time to talk to you about it tomorrow, and I know you guys got a lot of footage. We're going to try to get some of that audio if you got anything together for us. And either way, tomorrow we're going to have Ganja Granny on, right?
Yes.
Your friend Arlene Williams, she'll be on the show from New York talking about her New York March coming up. And before the end of the show, I will tell you what's going on with ours. So anyway, in the meantime, I do want to tell you, I want to ask you, did you see Chief Greenbud perform?
I didn't see him.
No?
But I heard him.
You heard him.
Yes.
Boy, you know what?
He was at the same hotel we were.
Very cool. Well, you know, the Monroe Street party isn't that big of a block area, but there's so many people, it's hard to see everybody.
Yes.
Did you get into Dominic's?
I got inside and I was going to order a pizza, and they said it was a 2-hour wait, and I couldn't wait that long. So
you went and got food that almost killed you.
Yeah.
Well, not to give a free plug out there for Dominic's, but yeah, when there's
they were packed.
Packed. I've told you. I showed you the picture last week. It gets so packed, it is ridiculous. And in a good way, of course.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, 13 arrests for pot possession.
We saw one of them.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. The most in years that I know of. And they were cracking down on purpose. They're, you know, oh, we don't care about patients. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, boy. At the hotel, no cops were bothering us. One drove by. That was it.
Yeah. Now, that's how it is at the hotel. That's the Clarion up there in Ann Arbor. They're pretty tolerant. They know what's going on. They just don't want you smoking in the rooms. That's what they claim, but if you're discreet about it.
No smoking tobacco in the rooms.
Oh, they did clarify this
yes.
time. Wow. Usually it's no smoking at all, and we have to hide still. But they were pretty tolerant about other areas.
Nobody was hiding.
Wow. Fantastic for the Clarion. Give one to them. But as far as Ann Arbor and the campus police go, you know, it's so ironic. You know, it's just so stupid. The whole thing was over John Sinclair getting busted. And it was like a $20 fine in Ann Arbor, maybe $5 at that time, 40-something years ago. It's still a low fine. How much money could they have made? They spent that much man hours, that much dollars on the cops that were there making double time to do their footwork to go bust these people. And that's like 13 times 20, $25. Was it really worth it, Ann Arbor?
Well, they actually put one guy into a car and took him away.
Hey. Well, they might get a fine out of him. And, of course, in the meantime, he's in jail, and that costs money.
Yes.
So the whole operation that day cost him more than it got them, and it just made them look like stupid cops, as stupid cops are. All right. I'm going to roll this up. This is Chief Greenbud. It is not only in honor of him playing Hash Bash. It's also in honor of today. In history, today in history, April 9th, 1865, the Confederate General Lee surrendered to the North. That's right. So I told Chief that this was in honor of his playing at Hash Bash and the day that the South surrendered. It's Hemp Rock Radio. We'll be back right after the break with Mickey Norris and Chris Conrad talking about Ground Zero at Oaksterdam U.
I'm all stressed out from the rat race and the big city life. I take off to a special place I go to all the time. It's an hour outside of Nashville, a mile down Route 16. It's the closest place to heaven I believe I've ever seen. Marijuana. Marijuana, Tennessee. I got a 10-acre lot where I grow my pot, and nobody knows but me. Well, I can roll my own and never leave my home, and all the bud is free. And marijuana, marijuana, Tennessee. I'm gonna need a pack mule. I'm gonna need a plow. I'm gonna need a few hundred seeds that I can throw in the ground. And with a little luck and water, Mother Nature's helping hand. Well, I believe I have more weed than they do in Amsterdam.
Damn!
Marijuana, marijuana, Tennessee. I got a 10-acre lot where I grow my pot. Nobody knows but me. Well, I can roll my own and never leave my home, and all the bud is free. In marijuana, marijuana, Tennessee. I'm talking about marijuana, marijuana, Tennessee. I got a 10-acre lot where I grow my pot, and nobody knows but me. Well, I can roll my own and never leave my home. The bud is always free. In marijuana, marijuana, Tennessee. I'm talking about marijuana, marijuana, Tennessee.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. We envision new drug policies grounded in science, compassion, health, and human rights.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because it fosters
debate on drug policy.
Because the war on drugs represents an extraordinary violation of human rights.
Because whether you use drugs or not, you deserve to be treated with respect, kindness, and dignity.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I'm a scientist.
Because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
We believe the war on drugs is really a war on people.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I want my children to receive honest drug education.
Because it's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to tell the truth about drugs and our failed drug policies.
Because the war on drugs is a war on people of color.
The Drug Policy Alliance promotes harm reduction.
Because the drug problem is a health problem, not a criminal problem.
We promote new solutions to reduce the harms of both drug use and drug prohibition.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I believe in the right to sovereignty over one's own mind and body.
Because so many people are incarcerated.
I know. I spent 12 years in prison because of a first-time nonviolent drug offense.
Because I believe in personal freedom and personal choice.
Because the drug war isn't that the war on drugs, it's
the war on people. I'm Tony Papa.
I'm George Soros.
I'm Sting, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I'm Larice Harvey.
I am Dr. Matilda Krim.
I'm Elizabeth Sarnoff.
I'm Montel Williams, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. Online at drugpolicy.org. Please join us.
Are you part of a community group that has something to say? What if you could spread your own message with your own radio station?
Who, us?
Yeah, you.
Well, your chance is now. The Local Community Radio Act passed. As soon as the summer of 2012, community groups and nonprofits will have a one-time chance to apply for a community radio station. Amplify your voice on the airwaves.
Local issues, local media, local control. Visit PrometheusRadio.org/getradio for more information.
What's that? You say you need a computer? Well, check out www.mediabridges.org. We are offering refurbished Mac computers to the public. All proceeds benefit WVQC-LP Cincinnati.
WVQC is dedicated to giving a voice to your community, but we need your support to make it happen. Show your support of WVQC Radio Free Queen City by making a membership contribution today. Call 513-651-4171 to find out how you can keep non-commercial radio alive.
Cincinnati musicians, interested in submitting your music to be included in our local music library? CDs can be mailed to WVQC at 1100 Ray Street, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45202, 513-651-4171, extension 11, or email to wvqcprogramming@mediabridges.org. Radio edits only, please.
WVQC, people-powered radio.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's
95.7 FM.
All right, of course, if you just tuned in, it is Hemp Rock, like Cheech and Chong said. And I'm getting ready to bring in Mickey Norris and Chris Conrad into the show. But real quick, shout out to Chief Greenbud for the song Marijuana Tennessee in honor of today, the day that General Lee surrendered to Grant. So I am going to bring them in right now. Hey there, you guys there, Chris and Mickey?
Yes, we're here.
Awesome.
Here we are.
Awesome. How are you guys doing today?
Well, it's been hard this past week. I got to tell you that right off the bat. You know, we've been under a big lot of pressure out here and, you know, trying to give some support to Richard Lee over the situation. Speaking of General Lee, and so, you know, our spirits are up, you know, but the battle has certainly been joined in a harsh way out here in California.
Yeah, I just, you know, the only thing that I can do from here is exactly what we're doing, spreading the word, making sure that people know what's going on. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you guys on, because I know that that you're a part of what's going on and was right there at ground zero, both of you. And so I kind of want to get that perspective, especially because of what happened down the road at the same time.
Right, and also, you know, if people go to the westcoastleaf.com website, we have a link for people who want to make a donation to Richard Lee's Legal Defense Fund as well.
Fantastic. As well as go to change.org and find the Stop the Medical Marijuana Raids petition that is under Richard Lee's name, and sign it, pass it on, and let's tell the president how we feel. He's only asking for $25,000. I think it should be $250,000 or more. And anyway, so either one of you can take it or go back and forth. It's up to you. I want to let folks know where you guys found out, how you heard about it, and the on-the-ground story of what was happening. Either one can take it.
Well, we started off at a pretty leisurely day. We just woke up and had to take care of some things around the house, and then it wasn't until we turned on the internet that we first found out that we started having emails saying that something big was going down in Oaksterdam. And so we got a phone call from our assistant who was supposed to be coming into work with us, and she said, "Oh, I can't make it in today. I've got to go down to Oaksterdam. I might get arrested today." Mm. And sure enough, she did manage to get arrested. When we got down there, it was a scene like I haven't seen it. We've seen several different raids and so forth, but nothing to this extent of people in the street pursuing the DEA agents as they went from place to place. And hurling invective at them in a way that was very quite clear that the DEA were completely unwelcome there. There were moments where it felt like things could get out of control, but the flashpoints managed to pass each one as it went along. Mickey, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, we, as Chris said, we came down there as right when our assistant got arrested for the charges of obstructing justice, because she kept throwing herself in the way of their vehicles as they were trying to take off. Now, she had seen that one vehicle had knocked into a man on a cane, another woman in a wheelchair was in their way, so she was kind of concerned that, you know, people would get hurt by the DEA, but she was so full of anger and wanted to show some solidarity with Richard and everything they had built. Now, our assistant was also the first chancellor of Oaksterdam University, and so she had a, you know, special connection with them and place in her heart for them, for what Richard had built up in Oaksterdam, which was, he took a part of Oakland that was really in a kind of a blighted area and created a vibrant area out of it, and by building up different kinds of businesses that were related to cannabis. And he had this whole vision of economic development through cannabis. And as he had seen in Amsterdam when he went there years ago and saw that, wow, you know, you could really make a strong economy, a tourist destination, and it could all be regulated and controlled. And so he had this vision of bringing in Amsterdam to Oakland, and he coined the phrase Oaksterdam there. And he had built it up, and he was very much a community participant in Oakland. He was well-loved by the other business owners because he created a gift shop, he created a school, he did bring, you know, he was a permitted medical marijuana dispensary there by the city of Oakland. And he had various businesses there that drew people into that area, not only creating a place there where they were nice looking businesses, but it drew a lot of people from all over the country into Oakland with their their tourism dollars and their tax dollars, and he was paying a lot of money to the city and to the state. They all loved him, they supported him, and yet the DEA, and actually this is really figured to be run by the IRS. right. out of the IRS office altogether. And when we came down there, yeah, the people were very, very upset, very angry that here was a person who was playing by the rules as much as possible. He was one of the first people to unionize the medical marijuana businesses that he had with the UFCW, the United Food and Commercial Workers. And so these people were having good, above board, accountable, paying jobs there, and now these jobs are all lost. He had to lay off everybody, and whatever is going to go forward at this point right now, they're in a state of regrouping, but they're going to, right now they're all volunteers. So,
right.
And they don't have tax dollars coming in now, and their accounts are frozen. They confiscated computers and records and plant matter and grow equipment, and it was just it was really hard.
You know, Mickey, I don't call that confiscate; I call that steal.
Yes, definitely.
You know, another thing with Richard is that they hit him before. You know that, like Mickey was saying, they took a troubled area of town and they brought a lot of dispensaries and activities there. Then once it started getting good, then the city brought in a school nearby, and then they told him he was too close to a school, so he had to shut down the Bulldog, and they gave him another. He got another location, and they were able to keep going there. And he was part of the. He sponsored Measure Z, where the city voted to legalize marijuana sales and tax and regulating them. He was part of the committee, the city's oversight committee on medical marijuana and marijuana in general. And then we moved into this other phase where he had the Oaksterdam University going. We started off in one location. It had grown so much it moved to, it was in its third location of growth. We opened up the Oaksterdam Cannabis Museum down the street and put in a little six-plant medical marijuana grow there, which is, way below anything the DEA would normally be interested in, but a nice draw for tourists to come and see it.
Sure.
But then the IRS or the DEA, actually I guess I should say the DOJ, the Department of Justice, sent a letter to his landlord telling him he had to vacate the location that the city was allowing him, the second location the city was allowing him to work in. And so at that point, they didn't have another place to move, so they moved the dispensary into the museum, the back of the museum. We were giving him sanctuary. And so when the raid hit, that's why people hear about the museum getting hit. It was because the museum was providing sanctuary to the dispensary behind it.
I see. Now, what time did you guys get there on the ground?
We didn't get there until just afternoon.
Okay.
I really need to restate that better, actually, because Richard is the one. He was the one who was sponsoring the museum. So Richard was sponsoring the museum, and he used a part of it for the dispensary.
Yeah. Either way, it's all connected.
Not doing him a favor. It was actually he was the one who was paying our rent.
Right. Well,
Which, by the way, was the old headquarters for the Prop 19 campaign.
Yeah. Now let's talk about that for a minute, because my first thought in my mind when I saw this email in the email list was, oh, great, now they're going after Richard because of Prop 19, and they're going to try to stop the next prop. It's so blatantly obvious that they're using our tax dollars to fight what we want. And
hypocrisy, in other words.
It's total hypocrisy. It's disgusting. It's, I try not to use this word because I don't want to have that kind of connotation. But let's face it, it's evil people doing this that could care less. They don't care. They're saying it's for the children. Yet, if it's so important for the children to be safe, then why are they busting into people's homes all over the country, including New Orleans, where just a month ago they busted in with no knock warrant, shot and killed a 20-year-old black kid sitting on the couch. Maybe he started to stand up because he thought there were thugs breaking in, shot and killed him in front of the children in the house, and they found 4 to 5 ounces in the closet. So it's really to protect the children. I'm sure they told these kids that while they shot the sibling. It's ridiculous. So, I just want to mention this. I don't know if you guys were tuned in before you guys came on. At the top of the show, I played a song from Roger Waters, bass player of Pink Floyd's 1992 album called Amused to Death, with a song called Watching TV, in honor of the oldest dissident of China during the Tiananmen Square incident, which that anniversary is coming up soon. But today, this over the weekend, this guy died. So I wanted to play it in honor of him and the folks that died at that time. And you guys mentioned that there was almost a point in time where you all thought that something worse could go down than what was going down at the time. And you mentioned your friend, the assistant, who, along with other people, were trying to stop the vehicles. You know, that's on film. There's one Chinese man that kept the tanks from coming in for an hour before they killed him.
That struck me, too. I did see a photo of that as well, and it reminded me of Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
And people were so angry. You know, we had to try to, you know, bring attention to it and stop this. We feel so betrayed by the Obama administration because during the campaign, he gave all indications that this would be a low priority. He did not want to spend the DOJ resources, the limited DOJ resources that they have, going on after a system that was in place statewide.
Yeah. He didn't just indicate, Mickey. He said it during debates and interviews. That's not just an indication. That's a promise that he broke.
Right. Not to mention, they also came out with a memo within, like, the first 2 years of that to explain that this is our priority, and it's not a priority. And so they were giving really mixed messages. It's so unfair that so many places were operating within the law here in California. And the weird thing about this whole thing is that they keep coming after those that are regulated and permitted by local governments rather than, you know, expanding out into those that are operating outside of that regulatory system.
They claim that they're only going after the ones that are outside of it, but that we know is bullcrap. Now
Obama said he wasn't going to use government resources to go after marijuana is legal. Then that turned into that they were going to, go after people who weren't following state law properly. Then it became that they got to interpret the state law. Then it got to where they were going after people for violating zoning ordinances.
Yeah.
This is the federal government enforcing federal city zoning ordinances.
Yeah.
And they came back and they said the city zoning ordinance is not strong enough. The federal government is going to tell cities what their zoning rules are and decide who's following them and who is not. And so this is talk about your big government.
Yeah.
From we're not going to interfere to we're going to be sitting over the city council shoulder, and if we don't like what they're doing, we're going to do something else.
Yeah.
And then I would say something, Lynn, that I never saw before was black people cursing Obama's name on the street.
Wow.
In California. That's something, you know, we were dancing in the streets when he was elected.
Yeah.
Whatever he did, the African-American people I know have been very forgiving.
Yeah.
But that day, they were cursing his name in the streets of Oakland, California. And
they don't care what color it is. The president and the DOJ, the DOJ. And let's not forget, he said these things, yet within less than a week of him taking office, the first raid happened.
Right, yeah, no, unfortunately with Obama, if it ends up Obama versus Romney, you've got two people, or Obama or Baromney, whatever you want to call it. We don't know what either one of them believes or stands for at all.
No.
You know, Obama says he's going to do one thing, and then whatever the corporations and the police state say, that's what he does.
Yeah. That's nothing more than double speak. It's double speak is all it is.
So then if Romney comes in and they're saying that he's for the police state and the corporations, does that mean he's really on our side?
I don't
never quite trust that, to be true.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, I have to say this because I was a little bit at first, like, pissed until I thought it through when Pat Robertson came out in favor of ending the drug war and prohibition against marijuana because it's hurting the children, the kids, meaning the college. You know, people can't go to school and it's ruining people's lives. And he made this comment, when are the Democrats going to realize? I'm like, oh, when the Democrats? But, you know, if you look at the bigger picture on the federal, it is the Democrats.
Yeah, very much so. This drug war, the marijuana laws started under FDR.
Yeah.
So, you know, like one of my favorite presidents is totally tarnished beyond repair, in my opinion, for having that. And then you look at, of course, under Clinton, we certainly didn't get any relief. And under Obama, we certainly haven't gotten relief. And under the Democratic Congress, we haven't gotten any relief.
Nope.
But it's not like we've gotten relief under the Republicans either.
No.
You know, the problem is that this country is not dedicated to democracy at all.
Right.
It's dedicated to the elite few who get all the...
The thugs. It's the thugs. You know, I say this all the time. Now, you know, I'll give the president the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was threatened. Maybe his family was threatened. You're going to go along with the program or we're going to assassinate you and your family. That's very possible. You know,
yeah.
I'm a believer that not all politicians obviously are corrupt, but I think that a mass majority of them for many, 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 many years are as corrupt as the illegal organizations that they have come from to help keep their business illegal so their profit margin is up. I don't scare from the topic that most of them are corrupt. And if they weren't, they get in, they get their pockets lined and go along with the program or threatened. But that most of them really are criminal enterprises that have their legal people in. And it goes as far as to say, hey, the president appointed somebody from the private prison industry to run stuff on the feds that can open up the door for the private prison industry to own the federal prisons. It's happening right here in our state with the state prisons with our Republican governor. So it's not really Republican. It's not really Democrat. It's corrupted politicians.
Yeah, I think it's the system that is very broken.
Yeah, very.
I mean, that's obvious on many levels, and with the Congress, and not to mention the president and the, you know, the court ruling about the corporations and all.
The judges.
Yeah, the Supreme Court and all that. So, you know, the system is definitely broken right now.
Another
thing that you really have to look at there is the origins and the pattern of where it's going. For example, this all originates with the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937, which was a fraud.
Yeah.
They said it was a bill that was going to control marijuana and would not affect medical marijuana or industrial hemp. And they basically out and out lied about the dangers of marijuana and about the effect of the law. So, you know, if you or I, if I sell you stock and I say, you know, this is worth, you know, $1,000 and it turns out it's only worth $50 or even negative numbers, I would go to jail for that. But
yeah,
government officials did that, and that's how we got these laws to begin with. Then you go through 1969, you have the Leary decision where they said that using the tax law against marijuana was unconstitutional because it was self-incrimination to pay those taxes. And now what's going on right now, we have 280E in the tax code. 280E, which denies all the tax deductions for marijuana, medical marijuana businesses and so forth like that. And so that's basically exactly the same thing as the Marijuana Tax Act did, but they just brought it back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even when the Supreme Court says you can't do it, they just bring it back and do it anyway.
Yeah.
Give it a different name.
Have you done anything on the 280E, Lynn, on your show?
No, I haven't.
Are you familiar with that?
Just the general of what you guys are talking about. I don't know a lot of the details.
Yeah, you know, it was devised years ago, you know, to try to go after illegal drug trafficking. You know, so what they've ruled here more recently was that the medical marijuana dispensaries that are paying taxes in California that are permitted and regulated, not all of them are permitted and regulated, but a lot of them are locally, and they are paying into the system, but they're not allowing them to deduct the cost of doing their businesses. So it gets outrageously expensive. They're allowing them, believe it or not, to deduct the expense of buying marijuana that they're selling.
Hmm.
But it doesn't allow them to deduct payroll, utilities, all
right,
the things that for the businesses.
That any other business would be allowed to.
Yeah, so they're basically trying to tax them out of existence.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, I think it's the, you know, they view them as illegal drug trafficking organizations. I mean, federally, there is no medical marijuana. There's no recognition of it. So to them, all marijuana, whether it's medical or not, whether it's regulated and controlled in the states or locally or not, it's considered illegal and illicit controlled Schedule One substance. So they view these people as drug trafficking organizations, which is outrageous and ridiculous. And they're providing a service,
yeah,
actually a very good service,
yeah,
especially to. And so what they're trying to do, what the government is doing right now, it's very backwards. They're working against their own interest of illegal drug trafficking, and they're going to they're trying to close down these dispensaries, and where will this, who's going to take over that if it's not regulated and controlled?
We already know, the cartels sending in their crappy pot.
Right, or...
Plus, you have the government saying they're not going after the patients, but all they're doing is going after the medicine for the patients.
It's a lie. That's another doublespeak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's no medicine, who's going to suffer? The
patients. Yeah, the patients. And Richard's a patient. Everybody working there is a patient.
Mm-hmm.
So how can they not be going after the patients? It's just a blatant doublespeak lie.
Well, most people cannot grow their own. I mean,
right.
if you're a cancer patient and you need... If you need to control your nausea from your chemotherapy, like, right away, you're not going to have, you know, the several months to grow it and process it. You know, you could be dead by then.
Or in the case of our friend Burnman, who is right now, and I don't want to say this, but let's face it, he is on his last days of his life. We don't know how long he's going to have. He's dying of fourth stage stomach and esophagus cancer, and he can't not even stand up or sit up for any length of time because of the tumor getting so bad that he has to lay down. How can he go tend to plants?
Yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, so we need that system. We need that recognition. In fact, even Obama had recognized that medical marijuana had medicinal value.
He
said it should be treated like a prescription drug in California, like other prescription drugs.
Right.
And yet the DEA, the people that he puts in there, you know, are denying any petition.
He knows what's going on, Mickey. He's either a double speaker himself or he has been put in a position where he can't do what he really feels. Now, you know, I want to
hear from people about what's going on, and so we're really encouraging people to call the White House, 202-456-1111.
Absolutely.
2-456-1111, because we need that outcry, and that's something that your listeners can be doing today, is to let the administration know that Richard Lee is not alone, that people all over the country are upset about what's going on,
and that
he has to step up to the plate.
Yeah, that and the change.org petition. Real quick, we've only got a few minutes left. You know, you guys have been working on this way longer than me, and for so many years now, and you know, we've got 16 states plus DC, isn't that ridiculous, that are legal supposedly, and a lot of states like our own here in Ohio that are working to get bills for medical. You know, I don't want to say that that's a waste of time, but it certainly is going to bring issues to the state. So aside from those, what do you think we need to do on the federal level besides our calls and our petitions? Because, you know, does it really help to get a state law passed if this is what's happening from the federal level? What do you think? Should we change our direction as a movement and just attack federally or what? I'm curious.
Well, you have to act federally. I mean, that's what's the big holdup. But I think it's very worthwhile. I mean, you have to, you know, you think globally, you think nationally, but you have to act locally. And change will happen, you know, locally. As the more states that come on board, if we reach the level of, I mean, I'm not even sure what percentage of the country it is right now that has medical marijuana, that lives in medical marijuana states, but if we get that above 50%.
It's almost a third right now.
We have to put the pressure on state and locally, and that also sends a message, and it empowers people, and people need to be empowered and know that they have the power to make this change and create this, bring medical marijuana and end this prohibition that's shattering too many lives and creating making the United States the number one country in the world with our highest incarceration rates per capita.
Yeah.
I mean, it's outrageous in this free country.
It is.
Doing this kind of thing.
And I'd say I focus really strongly upon your state because, look, I mean, try as they may, Proposition 215 was passed in 1996. Here we are 16 years later. The federal government of the United States is still struggling with how to bring it down, and it's not succeeding.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, they're trying.
At the state level because... Yeah. We have enough states up against them, then they only have so many resources. They can only make up zoning laws and enforce zoning in so many cities, before they run out of arms and legs. And so, you know, my theory about this whole thing is we have to tie their arms and legs around each other and let them as they deserve to do.
Now, one way to do that is jury nullification. We have to keep pressing jury nullification.
That's it. That's exactly right. And that's one of Richard's Ted projects. He's always been a very strong advocate of jury immunity, for that where the jury has the right to vote their conscience.
Yeah.
And distrust the government. I mean, they've lied all the time to us about this issue. So what gives us the reason to believe them when they go to court against somebody?
Yeah.
So people have that right, and they need to know that and exercise it as well. But people also could, on another level, what they could be doing, they could be supporting the efforts in Washington and Colorado that have legalization initiatives on their ballot this year. And, you know, we need to get a state that will stand up and say, look, we're opting out of federal prohibition. If you want to enforce your laws, you do it. And that's how the snowball against alcohol prohibition started going away with New York opting out, and they said, you know, we're not going to play your game, and if, you know, if you're going to bring in all your resources, you can waste it that way. But, you know, we need to really stand up against this. Prohibition has to end. It's just a failed policy, and marijuana needs to be regulated and taxed and controlled and brought above board, where adults can use it responsibly, and we can gather the tax revenues for the betterment of our country, and we need that.
Real quick question, because we got about 2 minutes. You guys have a memorial of some sort for victims of the drug war. Does that also include just a separate wall for the dead victims of the drug war, such as the young gentleman down in New Orleans that got killed? Or Gary Shepard, things like that. I know you guys have the wall, but is there anything that you guys have or that is out there that is just focused on the dead victims that are being killed by the no-knock warrants and things like
no,
that?
No, it's a section of ours. We have the activist memorial, and then we have the victims memorial, but the victims is part of Human Rights 95.
Wonderful, wonderful. Real quick, all your websites and your West Coast Leaf information.
Well, we have westcoastleaf.com. That's our newspaper that we put out. It's a quarterly paper where people can read it online or subscribe and get your hard copy sent to you. We have HR 95 about human rights and the drug war. We have a Family Council on Drug Awareness, fcda.org. Cannabisconsumers.org, where people are coming out of the closet and taking a stand for our equal rights.
I'm on there.
Right. And ChrisConrad.com, where you can learn about how Chris is a marijuana expert witness in the courts and the kind of court rulings that people can use to defend themselves. And SafeAccessNow.net. We've got a whole bunch of websites.
And you're
one of them, hopefully you can see it.
And you're both in Facebook and things like that as well.
And Oaksterdam University Marijuana, what is it, Chris? Oaksterdam Cannabis Museum.
.com.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, Chris, you want to say something real quick?
Well, I just think that we really need your listeners out there to be writing their letters, making their phone calls, and sending some money to help fight these guys.
Absolutely.
This is the big game.
And this is the front lines. I mean, this is the front lines.
That's why I called it ground zero, because that's exactly what it is.
You know, anybody in Washington or Colorado, tell them, vote yes on these initiatives. Do not let the kind of stupidity and splintering that happened in California happen in those states. We have to pass something. You can always fix it when you pass it, but if you vote it down, you lose.
That's right. And that's really what happened. They went, oh, they lost. Let's go do it now. Stop the next one.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that the fact that our movement was not united is one of the reasons that we're in the situation
we are right now.
So who splintered our movement, I hold them personally responsible for where we stand right now.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Well, listen, folks, I love you guys. I wish I could be out there to help you. This is about what I can do from here and spread the word. But I know you guys will be coming possibly to the local area sometime in the summer, and I can't wait to see you and get you in the studio. So.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Mickey. Bye-bye.
Keep up the fight.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. All right. Of course, it is Hemp Rock Radio. That was Mickey Norris and Chris Conrad from California, ground zero in our movement. We are out of here. Susan, I ran out of time. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow about your hash bash.
That'll give you more time to recover.
There you go. I didn't even expect to see you today. But we are out of here. We hope the burn man is feeling okay. And everybody else out there, of course, stay high.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on WBQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at weedradionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at weedradionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at hemprock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WBQC-LP is Jay Allday with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood.
WBQC, people-powered radio.